Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will get you on the air here this evening. Hope you'll join us, and also let a friend know. We're going to be talking about a number of things, I'm sure, dealing with the election and some of the things that are going on right now. And let me encourage you, we think about the election. It's not over yet. I know that they've coronated Joe Biden as president-elect. That is based purely on media forecasts and such not. The Electoral College has not been seated yet. Not one electoral vote has been cast for him. The state election totals have not been certified yet. It's all conjecture. Now, they may very well be correct, but they may also be wrong. So there's a lot to go. There's a lot of challenges ahead. And if you are pulling for President Trump, don't give up the faith. There's a lot yet that may yet transpire. So there's a lot of races that are still they're looking at reviewing and perhaps, well, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate too much what might be in store. But we certainly have had an interesting week, and I think it's going to be an interesting next few weeks. So we'll talk about many of those things as well, but let's go ahead and open our program here tonight with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory this evening. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in our walk with you. And Lord, we do pray for our country this evening. We do pray that whatever the election result is, that it would be based on fair counting. It would be based on accurate counting and not be based on fraud or cheating or manipulation of numbers or software. Lord, we just pray that it would be a true count, an accurate count. And if it's a vice president, or if it's a president-elect Biden or President Trump for four more years, we just pray that you'd give people grace to be able to accept the accurate and honest figures, Lord, in whatever way they may go. We know there's many challenges yet to be had, and so we just pray for calmness and peace in our country, Lord, and pray that you'd encourage believers as we face what's happening here and the very real possibility of 4 years of spiritual darkness. So we just pray for your help and your guidance and direction, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, it's good to be with you here tonight, and lots of things to talk about. As I said, I worked the election in Richfield this past week, and oh my, what a day. We were busy. It's just we opened the polls at 6:30, and I think a little after 6, we already had nearly 50 people standing outside. I know by 6:15 there was over 50. Somebody said there was about 70 people outside. It's just little Richfield Village. And really surprised at how busy we were. Another kind of thing that surprised me was we thought that at 5 o'clock we would get a last-minute surge at the end of the day, people getting off work and everything, and talking talked with a friend of mine working at Richfield Township, and they expected the same thing again in both Richfield Village and Richfield Township. From 5 o'clock on, it just, like, the numbers of people coming in just slowly decreased. They hardly had anybody, relatively speaking. Most elections, we have a big turnout during that time, people getting home from work, stopping in to vote. But we had a heavy turnout, and I'd like to think that things in our voting location went fairly. I have heard some things from some other districts. I can't go into details, but I know in particular one district in Akron has some credible reports of some irregularities, to say the least. I don't want to go into anything more on that. I trust that they will be looking into that. But around the country, well, Ohio managed to get all of its votes counted and all of its people through. Around the country, not every state has been quite as successful as Ohio. And for all of our faults here in Ohio and different things that we complain about, I'm just thankful that we were able to get through. And I'm thankful that our state went for solidly for President Trump. I'm sure glad to have seen that happen. Having said that, what's going to happen next? Well, the media has crowned Vice President Biden as President-elect Biden, and people by the thousands are celebrating in the streets. I saw some pictures of Chuck Fear the Coronavirus Schumer dancing in the streets with shoulder to shoulder with people, no mask. None of them had masks on. And here's Mr. Chuck, gotta wear your mask or you're gonna die, Schumer, dancing and shouting in the streets with hundreds or thousands of his closest friends celebrating the apparent, and I stress the word apparent, election of Joseph Biden as the next president. And of course, the major cities have been filled with people pouring into the city centers and all, and celebrating, and of course, not all of them masked, and certainly not observing social distancing, which makes it kind of interesting, because Fox News has a story out right now that Biden's first move when he becomes president is a mask mandate for everybody. Boy, I tell you what, think of that. You're out there hiking all by yourself, and you're climbing North Arapahoe Peak in Indian Peaks Wilderness area there in Colorado in the Roosevelt National Forest, and you're just enjoying the views, and as you're going up the trail and climbing up to the top of North Arapahoe Peak, and there's not a soul around, and you're in the wilderness area and just enjoying the peace and quiet, and all of a sudden you get spotted by satellite that you're not wearing a mask, and they're going to send the rangers in, the forest rangers in after you. I said a satellite because Indian Peaks is in a wilderness area. I spent a summer working there when I was in college, and so I've hiked all through that area and camped in that area. But so because it's a wilderness area, you can't fly a drone in there because you're not supposed to have any kind of thing with an engine in it unless there's a overwhelming reason to do it, and so they can use the satellites, I guess. But yeah, he believes that we've got to have a national mask mandate, and he says that people refuse, he wants to work with the governors. Well, we've got a governor here, Governor DeWine, that's already favorably inclined toward that sort of thing. But he says if the governors refuse, he's going to go directly to the mayors and the county executives to get local masking requirements in place. Well, Fox News medical director, or contributor, I should say, Dr. Mark Siegel, believes that this could be something that might cause more problems, because he wants to mandate mask use with fines and all sorts of things. And I, for all the problems with Fox News right now, a lot of people ditching Fox News, I do have to agree with his statement. He said, "I'm worried that mandating this with fines and such may actually lead to more of a rebellion against it." Let's face it, the physical distancing is, I think, much better than the mask. If you're convinced the mask is going to keep a virus out, well, let me sell you some chain-link fencing you can put up around your porch to keep mosquitoes out. I think the chain-link fencing will have a better result in keeping the mosquitoes out, because relatively speaking, it's probably closer in size comparison than what the virus is compared to the pores on your in the spaces on your mask. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into too much of that right now, but this is what he wants to do. First thing, somebody said that he was being talked to about instituting a one-year shutdown. Well, talk about what a way to kill the economy. And by the way, did anybody notice that our unemployment figures have come in? We're below 7% unemployment now in this country, I believe. I think that's what the latest figures are. That on the heels of tremendous economic growth. Where do we go from here? We're looking at an individual, Joe Biden, who barely left his basement to campaign. When he campaigned, he had half a dozen people sitting in lawn chairs, surrounded by 6-foot radius circles, and nobody was allowed to come near anybody. He went by where there were a few cars honking horns at him. And in many of the appearances that he had far more Trump supporters there surrounding them than he did. Here's President Trump, thousands of people showing up, just swamping airports and different places where he appeared. Zero energy for Joe Biden, and he actually polled more votes than Barack Obama did in his prime. Now, what did Joe Biden do that so excited people that they could not wait to get out to vote for him? Well, really nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we do have to remember that what we're seeing right now has all been gamed out by the Democrats. They said that President Trump would likely be leading on Election Eve, which he was. I got home from working the election. I was very tired. I had been up early, I had to be at the polling center at 5:30 in the morning. We left the polling center about 8 o'clock in the evening, long day, busy day. And by the time I was sitting down at midnight trying to watch some of the news and things that were happening, I couldn't keep my eyes open, so I went to bed at midnight. He was leading. Not a landslide or anything like that, and I really, frankly, wasn't expecting a landslide. And then the next morning, boom, you wake up, and everything changed. Now, what caused that? I don't know what all caused that. Was it legitimate? Was it fraud? Was it a computer glitch? What was it? I don't know what all of it was, and I'm waiting, like many of you are, to see what happened. But I do know that the game plan that was gamed out by the Democrats was, first off, to allow Trump, the fact that he would probably win on Election Day, but that they would make up the difference through the mail-in ballots. Well, I guess that's what they did. The next thing then is, if that wasn't enough, their next plan of attack was to use the courts to try to get recounts and overcome the totals and get them looked at and some votes thrown out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then if that didn't work, well, of course, the dogs of war were ready to be unleashed in terms of the BLM and Antifa and different groups to riot in the streets. So this was all gamed out and planned out ahead of time by the Democrat side of things. Well, it seems like their game plan with the write-in ballots has been successful, but here's the thing. When we're looking at what Trump is doing, talking about filing court challenges and things of that nature. Well, it's his right to do that as any candidate, and it's exactly what the Democrats plan on doing. But this is a part of it that we need to understand. What we're experiencing is a psychological operation, because I asked our church this morning. I said, how many electoral college votes does President Trump have, and how many does Joe Biden have right at this moment in time? And our church follows a lot of this stuff pretty close, and everybody got it and gave the correct answer. And if you're thinking about it, how many, we'll go with Joe Biden, how many electoral votes does he have right now? The answer is zero. He does not have a single electoral vote. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Al, the media says he's got 279 electoral votes. No, he doesn't. He's projected. Those are projections, and they project that Donald Trump has 214. These are purely projections. The races have not been certified yet. The electors of each state have not met and cast their votes yet. Neither candidate has a single electoral vote. They have projections. Now, when we look at this, some of the races, for instance, in Wisconsin, where they're talking about a potential recount, there is just a little over 20,000 votes between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Georgia, where it's going down to the wire, there's a little over 10,000 votes separating them there, with Joe Biden leading. In Arizona, Joe Biden is leading by, I think just about 20-some thousand votes or something there. Let me give you the figures. It's 1,643,664 votes for Joe Biden to 6,000. I can't read my thing here. Let me get turned around here. 1,626,679 votes for Donald Trump. So basically, if you look at the last part of that, 26,679, and Biden with 43,664. They're getting pretty close on some of these votes. Georgia right now. I gave Georgia there where I believe where they're leading by about 10. Here's Pennsylvania that they had called. Pennsylvania. Here's a case where we have about 45,000 votes. And there's still votes out in some of these areas. And then, like I said, Wisconsin, though it's been called for Joe Biden, there's talks of a recount. And then we have the stories coming out of Michigan of software glitches, changing votes to the tune of thousands in a number of counties throughout Michigan, and by some reports, other states using the same software. So all of this stuff has to be sorted through. And as a consequence, as I said, they've projected right now that Biden has 279 electoral votes. He has zero right now. This is purely projected. These things could change. There's a runoff vote going on in Georgia as well for senators, and that could alter the makeup of the Senate. And the House is just, I mean, it's just these things, some of them are more settled than others. But I guess what I want to say to Christians is do not be overcome with fear and doubt and dismay. That's part of the psychological operation, is to discourage the Trump supporters so that we say, well, it's all over, it's all done, we might as well throw in the towel and quit. There's no sense continuing on anymore. It's all over. It's too late. You can't do anything about it. No, that's not true. There's still a lot of things that can be done. If Donald Trump legitimately lost, then I would I would abide by it. I would not enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it when Barack Obama won either time, but I would abide by it, and I would encourage all Christians to abide by the law. But if he is the recipient of fraud, false votes, you've got, I think, Milwaukee, where you had more people vote than were registered. There was a place in Pennsylvania where a guy died, and several weeks after he died, he requested an absentee ballot, filled it out, and sent it in. It was sent in, I think, a month or more after he died. It's just too many cases like that that have to be looked into before we can certify votes. So it's still too early, I believe, to crown Biden with the president-elect. He may wind up being there. But what's going to happen, and this is another part of the psychological operation that's taking place, the other part of this is that so many people are now convinced that he's the next president, that no matter what Trump does, they're going to see it as stealing the election. And if, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if President Trump, through his challenges and through the recounts, if the projection of electoral votes changes, and if when the Electoral College meets in December, Donald Trump gets 270 plus votes and becomes reelected for another 4 years, these thousands and thousands of people that are celebrating in the streets, can you imagine what's going to happen? Well, their celebratory parties from this past summer, as they were burning down Portland and all these other cities, Minneapolis and all these places, these celebrations are going to be nothing compared to what we may see. And they're setting the stage for this. So we need to pray for our country. We need to pray that the truth comes out. We need to pray for President Trump, that he has the ability and the wherewithal to continue through the challenges. And even if he loses the court challenges and loses the recounts and concedes and says, yes, Joe Biden is the next president. You realize, of course, I hope people realize, Donald Trump is the president of the United States until noon Eastern time on January the 20th, 2021. He's got a good 2 months yet as president, and he can do anything he wants during that next 2 months as president, legitimately within constitutional limits, of course. If we have another loss on the Supreme Court, like Justice Ginsburg, when she died, now I'm not saying that somebody's going to die, and I'm not asking for somebody to die, but I'm just using this as an example. If that happened, Donald Trump would get another chance to put somebody on the Supreme Court. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly constitutional. And it's perfectly fine for him to do that. So, but imagine what the left will do if that happened. They would come unglued. So that's what I'm saying. Don't give up. Keep the faith. It's not over yet. And I think that we as Christians ought to keep praying. You know, think about it. Donald Trump, and I want to remind you, check us out online. Pastor Lutz and I did a post-election review this past Friday here on the station at 1 o'clock. We went from 1 o'clock to 1:30 on his program for the cause of Christ, and then from 1:30 to 2 o'clock on our program, live with Pastor Al. And we talked about some of these things. And one of the things we're talking about is, humanly speaking, as a Christian, as a pastor, I personally cannot understand, and this is me speaking as a human being and as a pastor, I cannot understand how God would not allow President Trump to be in for 4 more years. He has defended and stood up for Israel and the Jewish people, and God said he would bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel, and you read through the scriptures, it applies to the Jewish people, not just Abraham, but it's his descendants, and specifically the Jewish people. He has stood up for the unborn. God says in Proverbs 6, those that shed innocent blood are an abomination to him. He stood up for them. And so as a consequence, we would think that God would bless him for that. And he's also stood up for Christians and Christian liberties and freedoms more than any other president. Most pro-life, the most Christian-friendly president, and the most Jewish and Israel-friendly president. Why would God not give him another 4 years, instead give it to Biden, who is not a friend of Israel, who is not a friend of the unborn children, who is not a friend of Christians, and give him that? You know, and then you look at the running mates, Vice President Pence, strong born-again Christian, and pro-life, loves Israel, stands up for Christians, stands up for the unborn, and then Kamala Harris. Well, what can I say about her? You know, it sounds terrible, but look at the history. She more or less slept herself into politics, and she has stood for she stood against the bill in the Senate that would protect babies from when they can feel pain from being ripped apart alive in the mother's womb. So she's not been a friend of the unborn. She's not been a friend to Christians and Christian freedoms and Israel and all that. So why would God allow them in? Well, the only explanation I can come to is that God's got extenuating plans that requires them to be in at this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the mystery of iniquity that's already working. But eventually, it's got to be allowed to come to fruition and bring into play the Antichrist and the one world system. And there's a lot of forces arrayed against this president right now, not just the Democrat Party and big media and big tech here in the United States, but we're talking international forces, China, Russia, Iran, other places arrayed against President Trump. They want to usher in the Great Reset. Look up the Great Reset online. They want to change the entire economic structure of the world. And Trump stands in their way. They've got to get rid of him. And you know what? That may be what's necessary for the Antichrist to come to power. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. We'll get to our callers in the second half. Stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44255. 1286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll give us a call this evening if you'd like to weigh in on what we've been talking about the elections, or if you just have a question about the Bible and or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I dominated, I guess, commandeered, took over the whole last half hour. I just wanted to talk about a few things before we get to our callers here tonight, so we'll get to them. Reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you followed us in the past on facebook.com and you're not seeing our things anymore, that's because Facebook has been face banning me on different things and fake fact checking things and things that are obviously true, they're saying are false because whoever they got that's pushing their agenda wants it to be false. We have some problems there where they're going back to stuff that was posted a month or two ago and then checking that as and saying that's not true because things have changed since then. I was supposed to be a mind reader when I posted it a month or two ago. And so they're using that to claim that they have to restrict the visibility of our Facebook site. Let me encourage you, and I've seen more people doing this in the past week than I have in the past several months. Go to Parler.com, P-A-R-L-E-R, Parler. Comes from the French, like parlez-vous français, you know, but it parlor, parler.com. And you can find me there on parlor.com. If you go to parlor.com/profile/live with Pastor Al/posts, or just go to parlor.com and search for Live with Pastor Al. I've got some things that I've been able to post there that Facebook simply will not allow to be posted because it goes against their leftist agenda. Also, another place where you can find some of my posts is at USA.life. USA.life. And you can find me there, usa.life/Pastor Al. USA.life is a nice little site. A lot of Christians are there as well as conservatives. And you can get on there and you can find me just to go to usa.life/Pastor Al. And I've been able to put some things on usa.life that I haven't been able to get on Facebook or have been banned from Facebook. Anybody but me noticed this, I know other people have, where you post something on Facebook and you try to post it and it just won't post, or you try to put something in a comment and it just won't happen, and it just won't let you do it. Well, that's what you get at Facebook, and that's why many people are leaving Facebook. I heard that Parler is the is yesterday I heard somebody say that Parler is the fastest growing or the biggest download right now in terms of number of downloads. It just people are downloading the Parler app on their phones, and you can get that app on your phone. I believe you can get a USA.life app on your phone too. I've got some other ones as well, and if you go to those, you'll be able to find me. And I go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find them there, but we're going to have to get to our phones here. And let me, before I go off on all the social media here, I'm a little torqued on what Facebook's been doing lately. So anyway, we're going to get Tom calling in here this evening. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, hello, Pastor Al. How you doing?
I am doing well, Tom. How about yourself? Are you hanging in there?
In all things, not for all things, but in all things, we can give thanks to God.
Well, amen to that. And
we're on the right side, and we've won. So, I mean, we don't know what well is going to come out of this. And my sister called, and we're very disappointed. I went to bed at 11 o'clock thinking that I thought, well, it's not going to be a landslide like some people projected, but I think the Lord will give them. But I thought the same thing as you. I thought, why is it? You know, Trump isn't a perfect man, but he stood for the right things that God honors.
Yeah, not just stood, he actually did the things that God honors.
Yes, he did. And so, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, I've been watching prophecy since I became a born-again Christian in 1973. And, you know, we are drawing down. We know we've been living in the last days a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last days since Israel became a state. So we Christians have to remember that, you know, with God, he is faithful to those who are faithful to him. He's going to take care of us no matter what. But you're right, we have to pray. But I just wanted to call and say thanks for the encouragement, because we all got a little discouraged, and you lifted me up tonight. So I just wanted
I appreciate that, Tom.
To say that. And let's all pray, and I'm worried about the Senate race, too.
Well, it's close. There's a runoff on two races in Georgia, and also there's a story circulating around that Senator McConnell is speaking with Senator in West Virginia? I want to say Manchura. That's the wrong name. What's the name there? We'll get him here in a minute. Manchin, that's it, not Manchura.
Well, even if you do...
Manchin, but they're talking about him about switching parties.
Oh, okay, really? That'd be great. Well,
yeah, he's a Democrat, but he votes pretty much with the Republicans on a lot of issues.
We only have by a one-seat margin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's better than nothing, but it's got to be enough that can prevent the vice president from stepping in. And
exactly, because if it's 50-50 and we have a Biden-Harris, or as Joe Biden said about a week and a half ago, a Harris-Biden administration, when people laughed, he said, "You all laugh, you think I'm joking."
Yeah, I know. Well,
but at any rate, the vice president would be the president of the Senate and cast the tie-breaking vote. So
yeah, oh joy, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know, just to make things interesting, though it's a big long shot, the House races are not completely finished. The House... Well, I guess the Democrats have now reached 218. That's different. When I looked at it before, they were below 218.
Magic number.
Yeah, they're close. They need 218 for the majority. They just reached it, I guess, here this evening. I was going to say the House race was within at one point within about 16 seats of giving the Republicans a narrow margin there. But that may not happen. Of course, with recounts and everything, who knows what might happen.
I hope they don't try to. They're going to have to watch real careful that they don't try to pull shenanigans in Georgia with the Senate race.
Well, that's where we need to pray. And and it could be that God allows this to happen because, you know, we are in, as Ephesians chapter 6 says, in the midst of experiencing a spiritual battle. You know, the Bible talks about we're battling against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is really bringing it to the forefront, opening up shedding the light on what's happening to allow people to see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
And so it may be that God is allowing this so people understand the magnitude of the forces that are arrayed against God's people and against this country.
I
would hate to think that we've slouched into socialism in this country.
It's pretty sad. I think it's just a sad day for our country.
Well, and Tom, the thing that really saddens me is these people that supposedly are Christians that voted for Biden.
Oh, I know.
Openly voted for Biden and said, how can a Christian not vote for a man that's that has consistently voted against Israel in the Jewish interests, a man that has consistently voted against the unborn children,
yeah.
A man that's consistently voted against Christian liberties and things. How that's supposed to be the Christian thing to do, to vote for that guy?
Yeah, and he calls himself a Catholic.
Well, that's what we're supposed to accept. He's a practicing Catholic. Well, wait a minute. I'm not a Catholic. Tom, I think you were at one time, weren't you?
Yeah. But
is abortion a Catholic doctrine?
Oh, my gosh. They used to preach against it terribly.
Yeah. You know, my experience, the bulk of the pro-life movement is run by who?
Yeah.
Catholics.
Well, look at this Pope, though. This Pope is...
Oh, yeah, this Pope is something else. There's
bad news.
Yeah, he is leading things into the New World Order.
Absolutely.
I had a guy back in March, Gary Kah, I think it was about March 15th or something like that, Friday program, and we were talking about this. We also talked about it back in January of this year, and how this Pope had things planned. It was temporarily diverted in terms of dates and everything because of the coronavirus. He had seminars planned, things planned at the Vatican on why we need a global government, why we need a global economic system, and why we need a global religion.
Well, a lot of Catholics that I know believe that might be part of the end times, too, is with this bad Pope coming.
Well, I'll tell you what, his principles and his things that he's pushing for straight out of the Antichrist playbook.
Absolutely. So, listen, thanks for the encouraging words. I know you always do your homework, and I couldn't wait to hear your Sunday night program, so I'm going to let you get to other calls, so God bless.
Well, okay. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your call tonight, and keep the faith. Keep the faith. It's not over yet. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy up next. Nancy, welcome to the program last night.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
And thanks for holding.
I'm sorry. This Friday night, I figured out I was going through sort of a detox, eating like a bushel of kale for the last 3 days. I didn't know it was detoxing, and so I felt really weak, and you know. But anyhow, I feel fine the next day. So
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, but this election's a big disappointment, but as Acts 5:29 says, we ought to obey God rather than men, and we're still supporting Trump. It was such a godly candidate in, you know, Vice President Pence over, Biden and Harris. They're so ungodly. If God forbid Biden becomes president, I don't know if this would be appropriate revelation after all the recounts and, you know, trying to figure out all the fraud and deception. Oh, and when you mentioned about Michigan installing corrupt software.
There was software, and whether it was intentionally corrupted or just a glitch, there are reports out of Michigan of thousands of votes being changed from Trump to Biden, and that software was used in other counties and also other states. So that's got potential. That's the kind of thing that needs to be looked into. Otherwise, there's no confidence in the election, is there?
Yes, I heard that the same defective malware was installed in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Wisconsin, Arizona, Minnesota. There's so much evidence of corruption and, you know, just downright cheating and not allowing observers. You know, it's almost unbelievable all that they've gotten away with. But I think the worst thing is the 100 million ballots that they sent out. I mean, so many of these races are so close, so that would easily account for his.
Yeah, well, look at Pennsylvania, where Project Veritas, O'Keefe, I think it was, had the guy where the one postmaster at the one post office instructed the people that they had to backdate the ballots that were being mailed in. They were brought into the post office after Election Day, and the postal workers were instructed to backdate it to the Election Day. Now, if that actually happened, that also needs to be looked into. And what about the military ballots that were found disposed of and not looked at? Mm-hmm. Turned out most of them happened to be for Trump, and which, you know, I remember something like that happening back in the Bush-Gore contested election, where there were military ballots that were disallowed or they were trashed, and they were, of course, you'll find that the majority of the military ballots, not all, but the majority of them tend to go to the Republicans and as opposed to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many ways. And then, you know, the number of provisional ballots that are out there, you know, it's just there's opportunity when they're being opened. And Giuliani went into Pennsylvania, into Philadelphia, and their observers, the Republican observers, were not allowed to be in where they were opening these envelopes and looking at things. There were Democrat observers in there, but the Republicans were kept way back. I remember Giuliani saying at one point, they told us we could use binoculars. Unbelievable. No, I so, yeah, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the election process. And, you know, if it turns out that the machines actually took thousands of Biden votes and cast them for Trump, that needs to be known as well. I'm not trying to say, oh, only for our guy. We want to be fair because we're supposed to be a nation that operates under laws, not under mobs, not under some kind of oligarchy or some kind of tyranny. And people will not have confidence in the election system if they don't figure out what happened and take steps to correct the problem. So that's where we need to pray for our country, Nancy.
Yes, absolutely. Is it possible that if Biden does win after all this scrutiny goes through, that God is rebuking in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Do you think that he could be rebuking many people and chastening us by giving us evil leaders? I mean, look at Jesus Christ. He died for many sins, not his sins.
Yeah, he didn't die for his own sin. He died for our sins. And I'm just looking at clock time coming short. I would say to that that's possible, but at the same time, you know, we had a great many Christians in this country who were trying to move, and the country was moving in the right direction. I think it may be a case more like in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, "And he, referring to God, changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." But this idea of removing kings and setting up kings, sometimes God does this for his purposes, and that's what I was touching on earlier. Perhaps there's some extenuating circumstances that we don't know God's timetable exactly, but we do know that he's orchestrating events and allowing things to happen so that the world will be primed at the right time for when the hindering, restraining effects of the Holy Spirit, restraining the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world, when the Holy Spirit is removed and the Christians are caught up in the rapture event, then the mystery of iniquity will have full sway. And so things are being prepared, I think, for that. And I'm just encouraged by what Jesus said in Luke 21, where he said in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And to me, that's very encouraging. And if we are seeing events that are setting the stage for the Antichrist and the global government that he wants to set up, They're calling for a digital currency, the Great Reset. I encourage people to search online. Use DuckDuckGo. Don't go to Google. Use DuckDuckGo. Go online and search the Great Reset and start reading about that. There's some great information out there about that, and perhaps we'll talk about it in a later program. They want to reset the world economy on socialistic basis rather than any kind of capitalistic basis. And that'll, of course, in mean taking away your personal property. So Nancy, don't give up. And I need to get Terry on here before we run out of time. But you have one last thing to say?
I'm not giving up. I just want to say I listened to your joint program on Friday. It was excellent with John Lutz. It was, from 1 to 2.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have it posted online yet, but it will be up there shortly, hopefully. So thanks, Nancy. God bless.
Okay, thank you.
And we've got Terry coming up. Terry, thank you for being patient and holding for us here tonight.
Yes. No problem.
Good to talk with you last Friday.
Yeah, that was interesting listening to you and Pastor Lutz.
Yes, Pastor Lutz. He's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And he's on this station every Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock until 1:30. And then I come on at 1:30 for another half hour. And then Nancy, who just called in, her pastor comes on, Pastor Andy Rusnacko, from 2 o'clock till 2:30. So you got like an hour and a half of independent Fundamental Baptist trifecta.
I'd like to see you guys get together more often because two or three are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst.
Well, we enjoy doing it, and we try to do it periodically for special things. But we got about 3 minutes left in the program, yeah. So we better get to your call as well.
Pretty well, almost everything you were talking about is what was on my mind, so you pretty well took all the words out of my mouth.
Well, thank you.
Talking about the end times, eschatology and all that, and, the Lord's return, and his return is imminent. And look up, our redemption draws nigh.
Yeah. And let me give you another verse that's a couple of verses down, verse 31. It also says, "So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." So I think, and this is another thing, and, the 70-some thousand people that supposedly voted for Joe Biden, actually 75,638,479 people that voted for Joe Biden, let's just say that, 10% of them or something like that are Christians. They're not following God's word. They're like the Laodicean Christians in Romans or Revelation chapter 3. And it's a sad commentary on Christians that endorsed and voted for Joe Biden. And they think that we're the ones that are wrong. We need to change and be more loving and compassionate and welcoming, and time for this doctrinal division is gone, and this nonsense of being born again. We need to realize it's not a relationship, but it's a way of life. I actually read that here recently. It's not being a Christian is not a relationship with God. It's a way of life. How's that?
A lot of people say, let's overlook our differences and let's just, get together and be one. There's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
A lot of problems out there. A lot of the apostasy is what I'm thinking of.
Well, that's what we're in. We're seeing that falling away. We're seeing the apostatizing of churches and Christians. We're seeing the apostatizing of the pulpits that are not preaching the word of God. We're seeing what Paul warned Timothy about in 2 Timothy, where he talked about not enduring sound doctrine. That's where we're at right now. But Terry, thank you for calling again tonight. We're out of time here this evening, and look forward to talking to you again in the future. And I want to thank all of you for listening tonight. And please, if you've got questions, jot them down and join us again next week at 11 o'clock for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Join us next time. God bless, and happy birthday, Craig.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.